This is an interview with Francis Glass for the YSU Canfield Fair Project by Carrie Stanton on Washingtonville Road on December the 5th, 1983, at approximately 2:45 in the afternoon.
Okay, just relax. It's just...
First, we usually start with your own background. You know, when you were born, where you were born, your education, that kind of thing.
Well, I was born in 1918, November 20th, in Green Township, just about a mile from where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
I attended elementary school at Laetonia, at Ohio, and mm-hmm. high school at Greenford.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since graduated in 1936 and been farming ever since.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your parents were farmers?
Yeah. The first year I was out of school, I worked for my father on the farm, and the next year I really didn't farm. I mean, I didn't raise any crops for a couple of years. I just had some equipment and done custom work for
mm-hmm.
farmers.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I had a tractor and a sprayer and a truck, and I sprayed orchards and vegetable crops, mainly potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when crops were in, we had we could usually find some trucking to do.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was more, I don't know how to say it, but there was more of a variety of crops. It wasn't quite as specialized. There were a couple of different growers that planted a lot of lima beans.
Lima beans, yeah.
And we hauled them to Chicago.
They're climbing around here?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that was in the late 30s and, well, before and during the Second World War, there was just more labor, and that was a lot of hand labor.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
and we hauled beans for a month or 6 weeks, I was single then, and I took the equipment and went to Florida.
Really?
In the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And sprayed potatoes and hauled potatoes
mm-hmm.
down there for
mm-hmm.
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The first year we were married, we went down too, but that ended that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a little farm before that, but it wasn't much of a farm. But then we did buy some of the land we have now, and
mm-hmm.
and got into the orchard business
mm-hmm.
too, and been more or less doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We that bean business changed from after the Second World War. There was more machinery, and of course freezing came into the picture, and it was a co-op that we belonged to that had machines to shell the beans, and we raised lima beans for a couple of years, but
mm-hmm.
then we
mm-hmm.
gave that up,
mm-hmm.
and we raised potatoes for a while, but we didn't have the right kind of land really to be in competition with other potato growers.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't, our land wasn't suitable to use the bigger equipment
mm-hmm.
on, so
mm-hmm.
we
quite a few potato growers around here, though, aren't there?
There are,
yeah.
Well, not probably, or not actually so many, but there's a lot more potatoes raised.
Are there?
I mean, you know, like when we were in a potato, growing potatoes, we grew about 30 acres a year, and
mm-hmm.
that was about an average-sized grower, but
mm-hmm.
the people that grow potatoes now is so specialized that they have 200-400 acres of potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and it takes, and they have the equipment to do it with, and that's what it took. And
mm-hmm.
in our land was too rolling, but it was better for orchard. And then we chicken business in 58, I think. And for a while we had, well, for about 20 years we had laying hens. And we had, we started out with 2,000 and then we got up to 20,000 mm-hmm. and we gave that up to, I mean.
Why? Is that, well, is that a tricky business?
No, not really. But it's a specialized business, and the equipment doesn't last too long, mm-hmm. and our equipment was getting older. Mm-hmm. We were in competition with people that had new equipment, mm-hmm. and we had a family that worked for us, and the husband was 65, and he wanted to retire, and mm-hmm. so did we.
Mm-hmm.
So we quit that, mm-hmm. and we specialize in sweet corn and apples,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just the two crops.
Mm-hmm.
So we raise quite a bit of grain, too, that we used to, and, especially when we had the chickens, mm-hmm. although we actually didn't use that grain to feed them, but we did have grain to sort of protect us on the price of feed
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What made you get into the fruit growing business?
Well, that's what my dad was specialized in, with
mm-hmm.
apples and...
Did he always specialize?
No, well, not really. He came from Iowa. He was born and raised in Iowa and farmed out in Iowa for 4 or 5 years, I think, and he didn't particularly like that. And I guess, and anyway, he came to Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to do the same kind of farming here for a few
mm-hmm.
years, but that wasn't working out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all set to move back to Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and this Charlie Roller that you mentioned had I guess he had one of the larger orchards at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to sort of retire or
mm-hmm.
get out of it, and he told my dad about it, and they traded, well, or my dad used the farm that he had to make the down payment on
mm-hmm.
the bigger one,
mm-hmm.
and then right after we were married anyway, we had a chance to rent an orchard, and we never had any money, but what little bit of money we made, the first money we really ever made was in apples, and we've
mm-hmm.
had
mm-hmm.
some apples ever since, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It takes quite a bit of time to start an orchard, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It, the first 5 years, you really don't get any return
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
the trees. You get some apples, but not not enough to pay for the year-to-year expenses, but you, after the fifth year, then if the trees do pretty good, well, then you can start
mm-hmm.
recuperating
mm-hmm.
some of the money you spent
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Well, how old are the trees when you plant them?
Well, they're either 1 year or 2 years,
mm-hmm.
but you cut them back to nothing, you know, to,
mm-hmm.
they, even if they are 2 years old, they would maybe have a couple apples on, but in transplanting them, why, you have to cut those limbs off so they can, the roots
mm-hmm.
can start, because
mm-hmm.
when you dig them out, you cut a lot of roots off, and if you
mm-hmm.
don't cut some limbs off too, you don't have,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. they have to kind of balance,
yeah,
mm-hmm. And then there's apples within 5 years? Apples?
Well,
that's
in 5 years,
fast.
Yeah, they'll start to have a fairly good crop. Some of them have apples in 2 years, but, you know, just a few. At least you can, in 2 or 3 years, you can tell whether you got gypped from the nursery or not. And that happens plenty.
Uh-huh.
When they...
Really?
When...
what do they do?
No, they... I don't suppose they can help it to a certain extent. But, like, today, all the trees are, when you plant a when you plant an apple seed to get a tree, you get a root, but you don't know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So you take buds from a tree that you know what kind they are either bud or graft onto that rootstock.
Mm-hmm.
And of course now with the way we plant an orchard with the trees so much more concentrated on an acre that we use a dwarf or semi-dwarf rootstock,
mm-hmm.
and then put the bud on it
mm-hmm.
of the variety you
mm-hmm.
want.
Mm-hmm.
And to grow those rootstocks and to do that budding, usually a nursery does that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could do it if they have the time
mm-hmm.
and take the time
mm-hmm.
and learn how to do it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they do it in, well, a lot of the trees that are planted here come from either Michigan or Maryland.
I was thinking maybe they'd come from Washington State. They don't.
Well, some of them do,
mm-hmm.
but not too many of them. But, you know, when they dig them, everything's much more modernized. They
mm-hmm.
dig them with machines,
mm-hmm.
bundle them up, and somebody throws a bundle of the wrong trees in the wrong
mm-hmm.
bin, and
mm-hmm.
and they send them out, and nobody knows,
mm-hmm.
really, till it has
mm-hmm.
apples on
mm-hmm.
it. And you do get quite a few trees. You
mm-hmm.
can get quite a few trees that aren't true to name,
mm-hmm.
you know, like some Red Delicious, but in fact, they're just coming into bearing now. They were supposed to be Red Delicious. The last 2 years, some of the trees have had some apples on, but they're big yellow apples. And they're not Golden Delicious either.
No?
And, you know, it's 5 years a lot
mm-hmm.
of work,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm. You mean they're just, what's the word I'm going to use? I don't know what the word would be. They're not orphans. I'm thinking orphans. Trees can't be, apples can't be orphans. You would never figure out what they were. They were.
Well, these, like this particular instance that I'm talking about, no, I don't know what kind they are. The fellow from the nursery has been here. I sent them to the Worcester Experiment Station.
Mm-hmm.
It's if anybody knows the name of it, they won't tell
mm-hmm,
me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
a nice looking apple, but it doesn't keep too
mm-hmm,
good. But
mm-hmm.
to use in the fall, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's edible.
Oh yes,
yeah.
and a pretty good cooking apple
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm. No. So have you seen the trees change quite a bit through the years? I mean,
oh, definitely, yeah. We used to plant, or like that orchard my dad first bought, and this farm right here was all in trees when we bought it
mm-hmm.
20 years ago, but the only trees that are left that was here then are those, like, right directly in front of your car. That
mm-hmm.
small block of trees
mm-hmm.
there was planted when we moved here, but
uh-huh.
they were just 3 years old. I think the first year they had a few apples on them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but and all the rest of them on this farm was about 40 acres of apple trees that we've taken them all out and replaced them, and the custom was to plant, and the recommendations were to plant. Well, they planted 56 trees to the acre.
Mm-hmm.
And left them that way till they were about 10 years old
mm-hmm.
or 12, and then they'd cut every other one down.
Mm-hmm.
And that left you 27 big apple trees.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we have roughly 107 or so to the acre. But, and we don't intensify them near as much as some places.
Mm-hmm.
But they plant up to 400 or 500 trees to the acre now. And even on, there's some apples in some areas, you'd think, if you didn't look real close when you was going down the highway, you'd think they were grapes. that's not, there's not too much of that here, but a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Are the apples as good when they do this?
Well,
is that a matter of opinion?
The apples are just as good and probably better because the tree has to be kept pretty open for the apple to get some sunlight, and they can get more sunlight like that and probably color better. But it does take a lot more hand work than growing trees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
10, 12 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
most of the apple trees, I think an average height was 25 feet, you know.
Hmm.
I'm talking like 20 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure today if the average height is 10, 12, and some shorter and some
mm-hmm.
bigger
mm-hmm.
too.
Then how long do trees produce?
Well, you can have an apple tree produce good yet at 30 years of age, but one of the things that but usually there's an improvement in the variety, and or that's the way it's been in the past, and I suppose they'll continue the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that those apples that you grow on trees that are the older varieties can't compete with the new varieties
mm-hmm.
on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe after the customer would get them, they have a good quality, but they don't have the appearance that
mm-hmm.
some of the new varieties
mm-hmm.
have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing, is the first thing that customer sees is with the eye.
Yeah.
They don't taste them till after they get them home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that a lot of people just, if the apple is hard and juicy, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How have the varieties changed around here through the years? Did you just start out with a couple kinds and now there's a lot of different kinds? Or?
No, I think there was probably more,
how much I know about
more varieties years ago than there is today.
Really?
For the volume of apples, like Red and Yellow Delicious. Red Delicious is the most popular
mm-hmm.
apple.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Red Delicious or Yellow Delicious would be second, but Macintosh would be just very popular too.
Mm-hmm.
Although in this area we don't grow near as many Macintosh as they do in the east.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the west is really all yellow
mm-hmm.
and Red Delicious.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of apples used for processing, like Gerber's buy a lot of apples.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Smucker's,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the different kinds of applesauce, you know, that you
mm-hmm.
see on the shelf
mm-hmm.
in the store, apple butter. And,
mm-hmm.
and that Golden Delicious is very good for any of those uses. Red Delicious, I'm pretty sure that any processor would buy any other variety they could rather than Red Delicious,
mm-hmm.
but they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use Red Delicious, the other varieties
mm-hmm.
are short. But,
mm-hmm.
and then Rhone Beauty is, as far as growing an apple, Rhone Beauty is really good to grow because they are more hardy and probably yield better than any of them, and a very attractive apple, but
mm-hmm.
maybe not quite as good a
mm-hmm.
quality. But they are, they would come more in the class of Yellow Delicious. They'd be
mm-hmm.
good for fresh consumption and processing
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest obstacle in fruit growing? The weather?
Weather.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this year we had a frost the 7th or 9th of May, I forget which date it was for sure
mm-hmm.
without looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
Red Delicious were right in full bloom. And they're pretty, Red Delicious is probably, the weather affects Red Delicious more than a lot of varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And they froze pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a light crop of Red Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And even the ones we had weren't too good because they were right in full bloom. And the early bloom is the bloom that makes the good the best apple,
mm-hmm.
the biggest apple. And those really all froze. And late bloom made quite a few apples, but they, even if the trees didn't have too many on, they didn't get too big.
Hmm.
And then the 17th of July, we had a hail storm, but we were very lucky we didn't have it. Mm-hmm. We had some hail, and mm-hmm. and our apples have mm-hmm. a few hail marks on, but mm-hmm. not near as bad as it mm-hmm. can get, and was, you know, right in this area, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the apples don't grow too good in hot weather, and we had a no. hot summer.
Yeah.
And you didn't look at the apples so much, you just went and looked at the corn, it done good.
Good corn, yeah.
But the trees made a terrific growth this past year, which isn't too good because the new growth has a lot of leaves on it and it shaded the apples, and the apples didn't color as good this mm-hmm. year in our area. And mm-hmm. that wasn't true in a little bit cooler climates like mm-hmm. along the lake mm-hmm. or Washington. Mm-hmm.
When you know there's frost warnings up, what do you do? I mean, besides pray a lot. Isn't it, don't they do something? Can't you do something?
Yeah, you can heat. There used to be, there's been all kinds of methods
mm-hmm.
to use to heat. But, and one thing I think was getting pretty popular was they made a, like a charcoal brick
mm-hmm.
cut to square
mm-hmm.
and they put two of them in a plastic bag and you could handle them fast and they weren't too expensive and that worked good up till about 1972 when the price of oil went up.
Yeah.
And then they quit making them because mm-hmm. or they quit selling them because they got too expensive. Mm-hmm. There was, mm-hmm. you know, you'd only need them once in 3, 4, 5 years, but elevation is the most important thing. Like, you shouldn't really plan an orchard if you don't have, on the average, in our area, if you don't have about 1,200 foot air elevation, you're taking a chance. There's a lot of orchards, though, planted on mm-hmm. 1,100 mm-hmm. and probably lower.
Hmm.
But 1,320 or 12 is the highest spot in Mahoning County.
1,240.
How much?
1,240.
No, it's 13.
I don't know.
Over here on right west of Lisbon Road.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about 1,240 here.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some at a little under 1,200. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, it's about as safe as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
The, like, places where the orchard is more concentrated or more, the land is more level, like citrus in Florida, they heat that a lot and wind circulation,
mm-hmm.
but here the air moves anyway, and the heat, it's just hard to tell, you know, which way the wind's going to move, and it doesn't, heating that you couldn't do on the spur of the moment isn't too practical, really. Because
mm-hmm.
you, especially under today's conditions, you tie up a lot of money, and like I say, this, we had the frost last year, well, 81, I think we had some frost, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better just to pray and move mm-hmm. to higher ground.
Don't some crops, don't they spray them with water? Is the water
strawberries, safe? But
oh, you, strawberries. Don't you have strawberries?
No, my brother sprays okay. strawberries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that too good on a tree. It's been tried, but it isn't too good.
Mm-hmm.
The what you do when you water like that, you put on a small amount of water and the temperature is cold and it mm-hmm. freezes and it protects the
ground. Oh.
And the ice keeps building up, but if mm-hmm. you do that on a tree, if you got a where you had to run all night, you'd probably bust a tree.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't work with
no, not
with that. Mm-hmm. Do you and your brother have the stand down there? Is that both of yours?
That's another brother.
It's another brother.
There's three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Paul up here on 165. That's where we were born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
My dad lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe is, he has a farm down on Route 14, and they
mm-hmm.
have a market down
mm-hmm.
there, and they raise the strawberries.
Mm-hmm. You don't contribute anything down there?
Well, it's we all have our individual business. Now this year there, we sold them a lot of apples.
Yeah.
Because their ground is a little lower, you know, and they use that. They raise berries, and they raise berries on that little bit of lower ground, and it worked pretty well
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
But and they had a bad hailstorm too
mm-hmm.
this summer
mm-hmm.
that ruined what apples they had. It
mm-hmm.
really ruined them, except for cider.
Mm-hmm. So the weather was pretty bad this year.
Yeah.
Crop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't raise peaches?
No, not anymore. We
peaches. There's some. Aren't there peaches raised around here, actually?
Not very many.
Not many.
But Huffman's. Paul has some peaches, and Eugene Huffman has quite a few. And then there's a couple farms south and east of Salem
mm-hmm.
that raise quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And down by New Waterford,
mm-hmm.
Simmons and Hartley,
mm-hmm.
I think they raise quite a few peaches.
Are they more delicate even than apples?
Oh, a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something happened to the peach tree or to the ground, the tree gets a canker,
mm-hmm.
and then that wood eventually dies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get that canker, especially close to the main part of the tree, you lost the tree.
Hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't start till out towards the end of the
mm-hmm.
limb.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're careful enough and spend enough time doing it, you can control it some.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really takes a lot of supervision. And with the other thing that we were in, you just
mm-hmm.
ask the pieces
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
They come right at the same time. Sweet corn,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so we just always like to grow corn.
Yeah.
Either for grain we've growed a lot of corn for grain.
Mm-hmm.
Landmark used to have a 200 bushel contest. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We have one field.
Do they supply the seed?
No, they.
I know. I've heard the name.
Landmark. Well, it's there's a store in Canfield. It's
mm-hmm.
a state organization.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's the business part of Farm Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course they grow and sell seed corn fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
petroleum products,
mm-hmm.
and all the chemicals you
mm-hmm.
need.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have that too. They have this contest that, or it's not exactly a contest. It's they'll give you a prize if you can grow 200 bushels to an acre of ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that a lot?
Yeah, it's
Is
pretty
it?
Hard to do. It takes exceptionally good ground, and everything has to go perfect, and it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it for 5 years straight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, I mean, as this was going along, we bought a mechanical harvester for sweet corn, and
mm-hmm.
we just figured we could do better growing sweet corn.
Mm-hmm.
And a good ground is limited, and we've planted that field of sweet corn ever since.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was nice to
you have to keep rotating your crops, so then
it's good. It's
yeah.
better, but we don't.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Sometimes for erosion control and so on, and disease control, it's better to rotate.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't, because we're limited on the amount of land we
mm-hmm.
have, and we don't plow. We haven't plowed a field since I think 72, maybe even before that. But anyway, we use minimum tillage, and with sweet corn we can we picked the corn in July and August, and then we plant a cover crop right away. And like if you looked
which
at our
which would be like what?
Rye. No, we don't plant any clover because it doesn't make enough growth.
Oh.
We use rye and oats. And like if you looked at our land right now, you know, you'd think that we were big wheat growers or rye growers, but it's just a cover crop we plant to protect the land until in the spring. And then we never work it up real fine.
You harvest the oats, right? Or you plow it in?
No, we just disc it up.
Oh.
In the spring.
Mm-hmm.
One reason we use oats, the winter kills the oats.
Mm-hmm.
And like if we can get it planted in August, it'll sometimes, if the growing season is real good, it'll be out in head. Like you could combine it really, but then we don't. You wouldn't have the weather set really, but the winter will kill it, and it's a little easier to work up in the spring than rye, because if we have a bad spring, a wet spring, rye grows so fast and it gets the rank that it's hard to handle.
So we,
most of the time we plant, when we're planting that in for a cover crop, we put half the seed we put on is oats and half rye or wheat. And then we'll still, the oats will freeze out in the winter, and then it's not near as hard to get it dipped down to plants.
A little education here today.
That's Fred Merrill. I don't know if you ever heard anybody mention his name or not, but he was one of the, when Mahoning County started to have their own soil conservation district, Fred Merrill was the first one that was directly connected with Mahoning County.
Mm-hmm.
For the first few years, they had a Columbiana County and Mahoning County worked together with the same, well, I don't know what you'd call the top one, but anyway, then they hired Fred Merrill, and he was really unique, you know, and he told me that a couple of times, and I never used to, I figured, oh, hell with that. And a couple of times in the spring when it's wet and warm, and that rye would grow 5-6 feet tall, and you couldn't do nothing with it. You'd disc and chop it, and I just figured, damn, I'm going to try that. Works pretty good.
Yeah? Good. Oh, now let's talk about how you got on the deer board. You said your father was
and I know he wanted one of his sons to continue, and so I thought I'd like to do it, and I do like to do it, the reason I wanted to be on the board. And I got elected.
Do you remember, you know, when your father was on the board?
And ever since I was in grade school, as far back as I can remember going to the fair with him, you know, when he displayed out. And
what do you remember about the fair back then?
Just small. Yeah, I can remember, like, where the flower building or where the medical building is, and I think they have its arch right next door. That's where the apples were displayed. When I first remember, and I'm pretty sure that the racetrack that they use today they used it for the racetrack, but there was a racetrack, you know, like right east and south of that building, like
Is it east of the administration building?
South of.
Excuse me, somebody said that.
Mm-hmm. But I can just, I can remember that track being there, but mm-hmm. like I say, I'm pretty sure the one that they used today was built and they had the races up there.
Mm-hmm.
But that track was, it had just changed to the old one was still enough in existence and you could tell where it was.
Uh-huh.
But that's about all I remember.
Was it maybe where they have the farm equipment now? Or am I thinking of...
It wouldn't have been down quite that far. At that time, the farm equipment was that first midway. Well, that's the only midway there was, really.
Mm-hmm.
Where the medical building is, mm-hmm. and then, like, right out from Arts and the Flower Building.
Mm-hmm.
There's
closer,
a midway there.
Closer to 46, then, maybe.
Yeah, it was right at 40. Mm-hmm. Well, there really wasn't anything between that old building, between where the arts are now and where the medical building is. There wasn't nothing there
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
cars. But then directly east of that area is where that old racetrack
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
But the street, like that midway, it's actually the first full midway that where the administration building sets up at the end,
mm-hmm.
or almost to the end, you know, before you get to the grandstand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the next midway south of that was there, but that's all there was
mm-hmm.
at that time.
What was in that building? It's right by the... Mr. Ziegler, by the entrance there, Ziegler entrance, I think. What was in that building? I think that's the educational building now. What was in there?
It was educational, no.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
You know which one I mean? It's right almost next to the street. Across from the pumpkin building there.
Yeah, and the educational building.
That's always been the educational
yeah,
building. Well,
that's
mm-hmm.
what it was now.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But I don't think it was as big, though, as it is now.
Oh, yeah, did they add it on?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Let's see. So you've seen the fair grow quite a bit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And your own department has it grown quite a bit, too, huh?
Well, not since I've been on the board, but I can remember when the poultry...
I just got some. Thank you.
The poultry building was...
Just help myself.
in, yeah, that's the way to do it. Where the pump was, the first I remember about the poultry building, it was where the pumpkin building. I mean, it was,
mm-hmm.
the poultry building is changed to the pumpkin building.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because all those buildings down there are new.
Mm-hmm.
Poultry and rabbits and pigs and pig swine, okay. And there's, yeah. So you've seen it grow quite a bit. And used to go with your father.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then there was a period there when I didn't go to the fair as much.
No?
I mean,
we
always went.
That.
We always went,
yeah.
But... We didn't go every day.
Oh,
that's
uh-huh.
what I meant.
Yeah.
But we had seven children.
Oh, you have seven children?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
And when they were small, we didn't go to the fair as much as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are they involved in the apples and corn and what have you?
The one or one of the our boys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, and the other ones aren't. My. They live around here, then?
Yeah, all four of them. One lives right next door.
Mm-hmm.
One lives right up here at the end of the orchard. One is across the road
mm-hmm.
at the end of that orchard. And
mm-hmm.
the other one is, he's just a after you get the end of the trees here, just a little ways on the other side of the road.
When you bought your first farm, did you buy the land off your father?
No, I didn't buy. No, I don't have any of the land. The second farm I bought was this farm that my dad bought when he came from Iowa, but he traded that to Charlie Roller to buy the farm that Paul lives on today.
You know, I wanted to ask you, you said your father was from Iowa. Where did he come from? Was he from the old country somewhere?
No, his grandfather came from Germany. My grandfather and my dad was. Now I don't know whether I'm pretty sure my grandfather was born in Iowa too, but I know my dad was born in Iowa. They were real close to Walker, Iowa. That's about 25 miles northwest of Cedar Rapids.
I know there were some rollers that went out to Iowa too. I have a history of them, and some of them went out there, and they weren't too happy with Iowa. They liked it better around here.
I can just barely remember some of the things, but my dad moved here in 1914. And then I was born in 1918, and I think he was just on the verge of going back. When the Depression, I can remember the Depression.
Okay, good. Tell me about it.
My uncle had bought, this isn't for you, you're not recording this.
Sure, but you can take it out. It's okay. You know, when you get it, you can take out whatever you want.
But the farm that my dad was raised on, his one brother got it, and when, I can remember saying about, they sent some pigs to Chicago on the train, and I think they had to pay $5 and some cents on, it was just on the, it was on a carload, you know, to pay the freight and the handling. They didn't get nothing for the pigs. And then I remember telling about, or one time when we was out there, he said about that farm there, the fellow that owned that, like, you know, after, in the 20s and early 30s, you know, they built a lot of buildings, or they built some buildings, and those people just walked away, you know. They could still walk, but they didn't take nothing with them, you know. But for our sake, I'm glad my dad did come to Ohio, because it wasn't, at least he didn't get hurt as bad here as, you know, the people out there that just had, was raising one or two crops and had to send it so far to sell it.
Because
I remember people used to come to my dad's and, I shouldn't be saying
his name. Well, I know, but nobody knows. You've even forgotten your name.
But there used to be, like in the Depression, you know, there used to be a lot of, there's several people, different hucksters, that's what they call them then, you know, from Akron and Canton and Youngstown, and come and buy apples in bulk, like 30 cents a bushel, 50 cents a bushel, and just take them out on the street and sell them. That's the way, for those first years that I can remember, and in the late 20s and 30s, that's the way they sold the most of them.
30 cents a bushel. Then how much do you think you'd sell them for?
I suppose 50.
Yeah?
You know, they probably didn't.
Maybe if they made a nickel.
Yeah.
They were happy to just make a nickel, probably.
Sometimes with horses, but by that time, now, most of them had trucks.
Oh, you remember when they had horses?
Not so much. Well, I remember that when that's all we had to work with till after the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Or, well, no, right before the Second World War.
Mm-hmm. The great big draft horses?
Yeah.
Ah, I like them.
And my dad used to take them to the fair. He used to let us drive them up. Get to drive to Canfield with a wagon by yourself.
Uh-huh. Sure, sure. You don't have any more of those horses, though, huh? No.
Nope. Had enough of that.
Yeah. You don't have any stock. No.
No. We got two cats right now.
I've got one up on you. I have three.
And when we hit like those 20,000 chickens, and and we did have a few.
That must have been a real challenge, 20,000 chickens.
Oh, at that time there was, we had all the chickens we ever had was in cages. You know, that's right when cages first came into being. And
did you have to go gather them by hand?
That's why when the family retired,
that was doing it, why we quit.
Yeah.
Well, we sort of had.
We didn't have enough time.
It was a practical thing today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't regret it one bit. And but none of that equipment, I mean, like sometimes you see poultry equipment advertised, but you can't sell that to nobody. You know, you give it away.
What would you consider poultry equipment?
Like these cages. And, no, I meant the cages and feeders and
water traps.
And stuff like that.
Did you, let's see what the right word is, raise your own teeth? Did you breed too?
No.
You just go and buy them?
For several years, we did buy day-old peeps and then raise them till they were ready to lay eggs, and then we'd move them in those other buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd stay in there for about 13 months and then start all over again.
Let me turn this over. Sure it does. What did you do with the eggs then?
We sold them all to Landmark. And they, when we first started, we sold some retail and delivered them in Youngstown. But then when we...
Would this have been during the Depression?
No, that was in...
during the war?
No, we didn't go into poultry business till 1958, and we sold some retail for the first 3 years, and then we got more, and then we had, at that time, we lived across the road, we just had land across the road, but at that time we had a chance to buy this farm, and so we bought this farm, and then we didn't have time to do that retailing anymore with the eggs, then. And we were, at the same time, we've been adding to the chicken business, too, expanding that some. And we sold all the eggs to Landmark Foods, and then they packed them and sold them to supermarkets.
I remember Landmark eggs. Do they still?
Yeah, that same plant is still processing eggs, but they don't use the name Landmark anymore. They merged with... another company from Eastern Indiana, and I don't really know what the what brand name they do, but the they packed a lot more eggs than what in Landmark boxes. IGA and Kroger's in particular, when we were selling eggs to them, I'd probably seen more IGA boxes and more Kroger and boxes than Landmark boxes. You know, they pack some eggs for themselves. A lot of the stores that they sold them to, you know, wanted them in their own own label.
Yeah, private label. Now tell me exactly what you do on your little roll at the little your roll on the fair board.
Well,
when do you start getting ready for next year?
oh, of course we have meetings all summer mm-hmm. and are planning the different things, although the I have, I'm responsible for the fruit exhibit, and of course at the time I went on a board, we had chickens, and I remember Eldon Groves, he says, the fellow that had the poultry before was retiring, and Eldon says, and Francis Les is the only one that has a feather of the fair board. And he says that he'll be in charge of poultry and rabbits. And I've really enjoyed that, too. Uh-huh. It's altogether a different kind of chicken than we were really used to, because uh-huh. we got all leghorns, and uh-huh. these are all fancy, uh-huh. more or less fancy breeds, uh-huh. uh-huh. and show chickens. But you really meet a lot of nice people mm-hmm. that I'd never really come in contact with before.
Cause yeah.
It, like you say, it was a different... Mm-hmm. I knew a lot of people that had chickens and a lot of them, but I didn't know the same people as uh-huh. we're dealing with at uh-huh. the fair, but they're really, really nice mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm. When do these people... you send out, like, premium lists?
Well, yeah, they're all different entries that are listed in the premium book, and... Mm-hmm. And of course, they knew 100 times more about it than I did
mm-hmm.
when I. But I mm-hmm. learned a little bit
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it it pretty well takes care of itself. You know, you have to just keep checking to see that everything goes right,
mm-hmm.
and to watch you don't get too many, and that they are have. Good healthy birds
mm-hmm.
and that we have enough cages to put them
yeah.
in them
yeah.
and take care of them. But
how do you find people to judge?
Well, there's
from the breeders themselves.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and they're specialized judges. We had these past 2 years we've had a judge from Clarence Weaver. I know Weaver's his last name. I think it's Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from the Toledo. He's from the Toledo area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And previous to that, there was a fellow from in the Dayton area
mm-hmm.
that came up.
You don't get local people. You run into too many problems.
Yes, there is. The closest judges that I know, there's one in... he's not the far away, but I can't think of the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Akron area.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But he has a job, and I mean, he works in a shop, and then he does smaller fairs.
Mm-hmm.
And he judges at the Canton Fair,
mm-hmm.
but they judge our poultry on Saturday, so he can take
mm-hmm.
care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked him about coming here. But
mm-hmm.
He had that other fair, and he said he just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Do they pay their judges? The judges are paid.
Oh, yeah. They get paid. Well, not too good, I guess, especially when they got to travel such
yeah.
a long distance.
Yeah.
But they get paid
mm-hmm.
pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It takes several
days. A day. Well, this Weaver in particular, he takes a little longer, but all the exhibitors seem to be well satisfied
mm-hmm.
with him, and,
mm-hmm.
and he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it a little more reasonable in comparison to what some of the rest of
mm-hmm.
them charge.
Mm-hmm.
There's the first year I had the poultry. You usually try and engage a judge, you know, plenty far ahead to make sure you got
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And we get it done just a little bit cheaper or more reasonable now than we did the first year I was on the board, but and that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of have to watch that too,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes they get and they're probably worth it, but that's one of the things you just have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to coordinate the rooster crowing contest, which is the theme of the fair. And
mm-hmm.
it's a very
mm-hmm.
interesting project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It lasts for a half an hour. It starts at 9:30 in the morning, usually at 9:30, and lasts till 10. And in a half an hour, the record any rooster ever crowed was 92 times. But the average is for over the period of
92
years.
92 times in a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
He must have never shut his mouth.
But the average is about 60. I think the last several years that around 60 or 65 or so.
Uh-huh.
But then there's...
How do they get them to do that?
Well, they mostly always cover them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Monday morning, they bring them on the ground sometimes, Sunday or even Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably brought in Monday morning earlier, but they do try to keep them covered.
Mm-hmm.
So they, but some of those roosters know it's daylight anyway. And some of them don't crow at all.
No.
There's probably be a half a dozen or so. They'll never make a peep. But about 60 crows for the top one, and then we give 8 prizes for 8.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the lowest one is usually, that gets a prize, is usually about 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 minute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's...
Get mostly kids?
Yes, mostly kids, but of course the parents are always there too.
Yeah.
But the last, the contest in 82, a lady from Canfield won it. I'm pretty sure she has a place there on 224.
Mm-hmm.
What
kind of chicken crow the best?
Oh,
doesn't
some of
it matter?
Them, I guess it don't matter. Some of them are the real large chickens, and then, but probably the most of them are bannies, really. And I think the bannies have probably won more prizes
mm-hmm.
than the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're little mean things.
Yeah.
Are you in charge of the rabbits then, too?
Yes.
You don't get as many entries in the rabbits.
No, we don't have as much room, but the rabbits are really popular.
Mm-hmm.
There's sure a lot of interest in
mm-hmm.
in rabbits. But the rabbit show, and I don't have all that figured out yet, but they're like, we don't publish a premium list in our fair book. They have their
mm-hmm.
own premium
uh-huh.
book.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as much for the premiums, actually, as it is for their points in their club, rabbit club.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So the
they have rabbit clubs.
Or associations, or
uh-huh.
like they're more or less
different
national.
Breeds.
Yes, different breeds and different sanctions. And
mm-hmm.
they have their own set of rules, like,
mm-hmm.
and that and they the fellow that we have taking care of the show, he publishes a book and
mm-hmm.
writes the entries,
mm-hmm.
and they, of course, they get premiums and the fair
mm-hmm.
pays them and
mm-hmm.
gives them ribbons. But then there is one open class for anybody that doesn't belong to that club,
yeah.
but it's not for breeds, it's just for rabbits.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of children taking interest in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them bring one
mm-hmm.
one rabbit.
Yeah,
and
my daughter wants to bring one next year. Find out about that.
Well, she can.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Like I say, it's not, I could tell you, give you the fellow's name,
mm-hmm.
runs the show
mm-hmm.
and takes the entries
mm-hmm.
and it, you'd be, the rabbit would be entered in that utility
mm-hmm.
class, they call it.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
it wouldn't be entered in the...
What would the other classes be like? Lop-eared, whatever?
Well, lops they call
yeah.
them, don't they? Is
yeah.
the breed they call lops,
yeah.
I think.
And
yeah.
there's those little furry ones, maybe angoras.
Angoras,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Uh-huh.
And those are all separate.
Yes, and just, and they have to be... according to that sanction that they call it.
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh. They have to meet their specifications.
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And those rabbits have to be tattooed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Hmm. Now, what about the apples then? Who judges that? You have people come from out of town to do that?
We always get one person from the State Department of Horticulture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one local fella in the past. We've had three apple judges because it's sort of a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
At least since I've been on a board, and my dad did too, some. But the apples are just a little bit different. All the apples that are exhibited at the fair do come from Mahoning County, except it doesn't have to be, but that's just the way it's worked out.
Mm-hmm.
There's six different growers really exhibit most all the apples that's centered there. And at the present time,
this would be mostly professional growers, and it wouldn't be somebody that had an apple tree in their backyard.
No,
It's
really not near all the larger growers in Mahoning County, but the ones that do exhibit though are some of the largest growers, and they've been doing it, and they fill up all the space we have, and it just hasn't been something that you could go out and keep encouraging people to come, because we just wouldn't have room for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've been in to see the display during the fair, because I'm sure that it's one of the nicest ones any place at any fair.
Because
there's a couple reasons for that. I mean, if you had your fair in the early part of August or July, like a lot of fairs are, the apples wouldn't be very nice to put in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had it much later, there'd be a lot of early varieties that really look nice at the fair that would be gone.
Yeah.
And so it is an ideal time to have an ideal apple display, and I really think that the growers themselves do a fantastic job of displaying their apples, because they pick them and inspect them, and then they bring them and put them in those trays to display them and put them on the plates. They do all that themselves.
Mm-hmm. And, how are they judged, in color?
They
actually taste them?
No. There's five categories.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember just what they are offhand, but they're in the premium book, you know, what percentage is for what.
Mm-hmm.
But there can't be any defects, though. I mean, those judges do. The judges know apples and apple varieties, and they do a pretty good job of judging, I think. And, and it's all listed there, and before they start judging, they read the book and see what percentage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you always get first prize?
Well, since I'm on the board, I don't exhibit any. I don't really think it's the thing to do.
Oh, why not?
Last year, like I said about the freeze and the hail, you know, and apples were pretty short. We did fill some trays and display them, but we didn't enter them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't do it, that's all.
Yeah, wow. Sure.
Because
he has integrity.
But I wouldn't see the space that empty either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know, that's what we done last year when I seen it wasn't. Well, the one grower in particular, he isn't one of the real big growers, and he really got hit hard with hail, and he just, and the freeze too, some, and he just didn't have the apples, and we put some up to fill up the space, and try to make, but we didn't take no premium.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything you'd like to ask?
I talked a lot.
interesting. Really interesting.
I didn't know you were recording that at first.
Good. People get so nervous.
There's one thing I would like to add.
Go ahead.
About the directors.
Mm-hmm.
Not every person can be a director.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is strictly a non-paying job.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have the dedication.
Yeah.
Which all of the men have.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very fine bunch of men, and everyone gets along real good together, and
good.
They have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that.
That's true,
mm-hmm.
because they're very unselfish. One director might demand more than his share.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it wouldn't work if there were such a director.
That's
there
right.
aren't any selfish
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they're casters.
Right. Right.
And all they're interested in is a good fare.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I think they have one.
Yeah, they do. They do. Special fare. Mm-hmm. Anything else?